Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Ali Abulaban? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Ali Nasser Abulaban was born in May 1992 and was raised in Virginia. He claimed that he was physically mistreated by his father and could not live up to his father's demands. His parents would fight and chase each other around the house. As a teenager, Ali was diagnosed with ADHD and took medication to treat his symptoms. After graduating from high school, he went to a community college. In 2013, when he was 21 years old, Ali enlisted in the Air Force. He completed basic training in San Antonio, Texas, and requested a position related to intelligence. This was a possibility, but no positions were available at that time. Ali did not want to wait for an opening because that would mean returning home with his family. To avoid this, he accepted a different assignment. He became a military police officer and was stationed in Okinawa, Japan. In 2014, Ali met a woman named Anna. She was from the Philippines, but lived in Okinawa on a tourist visa because her stepfather was a contractor for the Navy. The couple danced in a bar one night and talked on the phone for 2 months before having their first official date. Ali indicated this was his first real romantic relationship. In August 2015, Ali was in a local bar where Anna worked part-time. After he became intoxicated, Ali was told to leave by the owner. As he was leaving, some type of altercation occurred. Ali claimed he fell into Anna. Other people claimed that he attacked her. Whatever happened, Ali was arrested. The Air Force offered him a choice, a court-martial or a discharge. Ali accepted the latter in October 2015. He and Anna briefly went to the Philippines. According to Ali, it was at this point that Anna told him that she was married to a man named Sean. Presumably, Anna was willing to get a divorce. As Anna remained in the Philippines, Ali moved to Virginia and lived with his parents. He worked several jobs to earn enough money to get a visa for Anna. At around this time, Anna found out that she was pregnant and she would later have a daughter. 9 months after this, she was able to obtain a visa and she moved to Virginia to be with Ali. The couple married and lived with Ali's parents before moving into a townhouse. To make a living, Ali found a job in the IT department of a company. Anna worked for that same company. Ali had dreams that were bigger than working in IT. He wanted to be a famous Hollywood actor. To gain exposure and showcase what he referred to as acting talent, he became a content creator and uploaded videos on various social media platforms like YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, and Discord. In his productions, he went by the name Jin Kid. Many of his videos featured Ali attempting to impersonate celebrities and characters from movies and video games. For example, he produced parodies of the role-playing game Skyrim. Ali became best known for attempting to impersonate the character Tony Montana from the 1983 movie Scarface. Tony was played by Al Pacino in the film. In 2019, Ali started uploading videos on the platform TikTok and became popular after one of his videos was viewed 17 million times. Anna was generally supportive of his social media efforts and even appeared in some of Ali's videos. In 2020, after making a trip to San Diego, California to visit friends, Anna asked Ali if they could move there. She no longer wanted to live in Virginia. Ali was not opposed to the idea. He visited San Diego a couple of times. When he was there, he started using cocaine. At a party, he met a man named Rayburn Barron, who went by the name Ray. Ali grew concerned because Ray appeared to be romantically interested in Anna. Despite this concern, Ali and his family moved to San Diego in February 2021. He believed that being close to Los Angeles would give him better opportunities to accomplish his movie star dreams. The family rented a unit on the 35th floor of the Spire San Diego high-rise apartment building on Island Avenue in the East Village neighborhood. This is the largest neighborhood in downtown San Diego. Ali found a job as a civilian contractor at the Naval Air Station North Island in Coronado. He was a network engineer. It didn't take long before Ali adopted a party lifestyle and increased his use of cocaine. Sometimes he would even use cocaine on live streams. Anna was not pleased with his drug use, and it was the topic of many arguments. On July 21, 2021, Ali punched his wife in the face. He told her not to call the police because he was sorry and ready to move past it. On September 8, 2021, when both Ali and Anna were allegedly using cocaine, Anna called the police. No arrests were made. Over time, Ali became increasingly jealous and paranoid. Anna was regularly interacting with a wide circle of friends, and Ali was not always invited to go along. In the beginning of the relationship, Ali and Anna frequently engaged in sexual activity. Eventually, however, Anna stopped having sex with Ali. This led to him believing that she was having an affair. The behavior exhibited by Ali became more erratic and disturbing. He threatened to have Anna deported and complained about her on live streams. He suggested that he worked hard to become famous, and his wife was destroying it. On October 6, 2021, Anna moved out of the couple's Spire San Diego building apartment. She posted a video on TikTok saying that Ali had cheated on her. After Ali complained, Anna took the video down. Despite this concession, Anna made it clear that she was done with the relationship. She wrote, "I can't love you the way you want me to." At this point, Anna started having an affair with Ray, the friend who Ali had suspected of having an interest in his wife. Ali told Anna that she could move back into the apartment and he would move into a nearby hotel. He still had access to the apartment in the form of an electronic key. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Thursday, October 21, 2021, Anna left the apartment to take her daughter to school. When she was gone, Ali made entry into the apartment. He threw away some of Anna's belongings, ransacked the apartment, and installed an app on his daughter's iPad, which recorded audio. He was able to listen to what was happening in the apartment in real time. At about 11 a.m., when Anna returned to the apartment, she was upset to find it a mess. There was no mystery about who had been in the apartment. She told a friend that she intended on getting a restraining order against Ali and having the locks changed. Anna called Ray, the man with whom she was having an affair, and asked him if he would come by the apartment. As the couple talked, Ali listened to them using the app on his daughter's iPad. He became furious when he heard a man's voice. Ali retrieved his Glock 19 semi-automatic pistol chambered in 9mm Luger, entered his Jeep Wrangler, and drove to the apartment building. He arrived at 2:50 p.m. and took an elevator to the 35th floor. At 2:58 p.m., he used his key to enter the apartment. By this point, he was recording audio on his phone. Ali cycled the action of his pistol and shot 29-year-old Ray and 28-year-old Anna to death as they sat on the couch. The weapon was fired 6 times in total. After this, Ali left the apartment, came back, and screamed the name Anna. He then exited again and called his mother, telling her, quote, "I just shot and killed Anna. I killed Anna," unquote. A neighbor called 911. Ali called 911 a few minutes later as well. The police caught up with him on Interstate 15 and placed him under arrest. Ali was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder. On May 1, 2024, the murder trial started. There was no question that Ali killed 2 people. The trial was really about whether the killings were premeditated. Ali argued that when he saw his wife and Ray cuddled on the couch, he snapped. He was particularly traumatized to see Ray's feet on his table. This seemed shockingly disrespectful. Ali claimed that one thing was for certain: he had no intent to kill. On May 29, 2024, the jury decided that Ali had an intent to kill. They convicted him of 2 counts of first-degree murder. At the time I'm making this video, Ali is scheduled to be sentenced on September 6, 2024. He is facing life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now moving to my analysis. Ali maintains that he killed in the heat of the moment. What he did was not first-degree murder. His defense was hoping to convince the jury that Ali was guilty of manslaughter. The state, of course, disagreed. They believed the evidence was clear. Ali planned the murders and carried them out. This brings me to the question, was Ali guilty of murder, or was this really a case of manslaughter? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he was guilty of murder, starting with the inculpatory factors. Ali demonstrated a pattern of controlling, demanding, physically harmful, and manipulative behavior toward his wife. He was extremely jealous, and specifically jealous, of Ray. He wasn't very good at hiding the mistreatment. For example, one time when Ali was asked if he had assaulted Anna in Okinawa during the incident that led to his discharge from the Air Force, he said, "I would never do that in public." Prior to the killings, Ali searched the internet for chopped bodies and trash cans. Ali had cocaine in his system at the time of the killings. He knew that cocaine adversely affected his mood. On the day of the killings, Ali ransacked the apartment and set up a way to listen to what was happening. Later, when he heard a man's voice, he brought a pistol to the apartment. Ali confronted Anna and Ray, fired 4 times, paused, then fired 2 more times. When he left the apartment for the last time, he called his mother and confessed to committing murder. Moving to the exculpatory factors, according to Ali, Anna strung him along. She told him that she loved him, but then would do things like lock his phone number. She would move out, only to move back. Anna was manipulating him and taking advantage of his mental illness. As far as the moment of the shootings, Ali described his thought process like this. Quote, "When I saw that it was him, I couldn't take it. I couldn't take the blanking betrayal. I couldn't believe she could do that to me, to our daughter. And before I could stop myself, I just blanking snapped and my gun was in my hand. And next thing I'm shooting and I can't stop. I'm just shooting. I'm shooting. I'm even startled. It's like I'm watching it happen. Like I'm in the passenger seat of my own body," unquote. This description is consistent with someone who lost control in the heat of the moment. When considering the evidence in this case, do I think Ali was guilty of first-degree murder? Yes, he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. He intended to kill both his wife and Ray. He wanted revenge and did not want his wife being with anyone else. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Ali was self-centered, grandiose, attention-seeking, impulsive, irresponsible, paranoid, cold, callous, sadistic, vindictive, petty, jealous, insecure, immature, was unwilling to regulate his intake of substances, and had a sense of entitlement. He believed that he maintained high status through his success on TikTok. When talking about himself, which was a frequent activity for him, he acted as though he was incredibly famous. He expected people to recognize him and implied that he was a deity. Ali knew that his cocaine use was driving Anna away, but he thought he could have everything. His intent was to control her using degrading comments, threats, intimidation, and violence. Initially, Anna minimized his bad behavior, but eventually she accepted that she needed to move on. She probably would have been somewhat cautious about navigating the actual separation, but just like cocaine was clouding Ali's judgment, an affair was clouding Anna's judgment. She was distracted by her lover Ray and unable to appreciate the danger right in front of her. Anna was aware that Ali had access to her apartment. She knew that he had a pistol, and she knew he was dangerous, but she was intoxicated with infidelity. Ali went to the apartment, killed Anna and Ray, and felt sorry for himself afterward. He said, quote, "I wanted to be an actor. It was right there," unquote. Ali followed up by saying, quote, "I'm the loser here," unquote. Many people would concur with his last statement. Now moving to my final thoughts. It was always abundantly clear what Ali was thinking. No matter what he was saying, the truth was obvious. This is particularly interesting considering one of the famous lines from Tony Montana. Again, Ali attempted to impersonate this character from the movie Scarface. Tony said, quote, "I always tell the truth, even when I lie," unquote. This really captures the nature of Ali. Everyone who knew him recognized that he was angry, felt disrespected, and played the victim. His attempts to be deceptive were numerous, but ineffective. Despite his best efforts to demonstrate that he was dangerous, not everyone heeded the warning.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Sie wollen endlich durchstarten und planen den nächsten Investitionsschritt? Dann setzen Sie auf den Sachsenkredit Universal der Sächsischen Aufbaubank. Mit einem Tilgungszuschuss von bis zu 10% für KMU, Existenzgründer, Freiberufler, große privatgeführte Unternehmen sowie Ärzte und Apotheker im ländlichen Raum. Für Investitionen bis zu 20 Millionen Euro. Mit erleichtertem Zugang zur Förderung. Alle Infos online unter sab.sachsen.de/sachsenkredit-universal.